Hey, besties.
Welcome to the BFF Bookcast.
We're your hosts, Teresa and Katie.
Before we jump in, we just want to remind everyone that what we discuss are our own thoughts and opinions. Just remember, we are here to have a good time.
And as always, please check trigger warnings before reading any books we will be discussing. And beware, we curse like the Bat Boys probably do during their annual snowball fight.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, Tate. I love when people try to trace the roots back to, like, where their family has come from. So I'm following this girl who's, I don't know her. She's a blogger. She's huge on Instagram. But her husband's family is from Italy. And they were going to Italy, and he was doing all this prep work to find, like, where his family originated from, if there's anyone still there.
Okay.
And ironically, the Airbnb host for one of the places they were staying, it was like, wait, I'm familiar with the last name you're telling me. Like,
okay.
Let me put you in contact with some people. Like, when do you arrive to the Airbnb? I want to let you know what I found out.
Right.
I feel like that's, like, kind of cool. Like,
that is cool. I thought you were going to say that it was like.
Like, I consider myself American because, like, I'm not, like, I'm from here. Like,
well, yeah.
I have roots other places. But, like, it was my dad's grandparents that came over. Whereas you're, I think, a little bit closer in, like, who came over from Italy. But, like, it's still cool to kind of figure out, like, where you're from.
Yeah.
But I just find it, like, interesting when people are like, oh, my God, like, I'm finding my roots. Whereas, like, I think it was, like, his dad who came, like, or, like, his grandpa who came over, something like that. I don't know, whatever. Yeah. I just find it fascinating when people are like, oh, my God, I'm figuring out where I'm coming from. Like, my mom's side, because she doesn't know her biological father. Well.
I was going to say, she knows him, but
she,
not.
Like, she would.
She knows who he is. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he did now, but, like, yeah, like, but they don't really have any information anymore about him. Like, so what she thought they were, like, background wise, like, it was so very opposite.
Yeah.
Like, my mom had no idea she was literally basically, like, British and French or something like that. I don't know. Something like that.
Well, that's a cool story.
Yeah. They thought they were, like, they had no idea they were British. British and Irish. They're like, we know we're Irish, but that's about it. Like, yeah. They're like, we think we're X, Y, and Z. But, like, no. Like, the lady is from the UK.
My family all stems from Italy.
Phil's family stems from Italy.
Not all of them.
Most of them.
No, but there's a lot of, like, French and stuff, too.
Really? Because my dad doesn't come up with that.
Really? I think Joe's does.
I think it's, so that's the other thing. Like, he brought that up to me once. I have my parents' log information.
Sorry, my microphone's falling.
You're fine. Because they don't know how to work anything Tempe. And literally, kid you not, I think all of Phil's, like, all of Italy.
That's so funny.
Isn't that weird?
Like, yeah, because I think Joe's is different. Sorry, like, these are my father-in-law and her dad.
Which makes no sense. Like, if they're brothers, like, why are they?
I guess they maybe, like, more from, like, one side. I don't know how that works, honestly. I'm not a science gal.
That's not what we're here to talk about today.
No. I mean, we could be if you guys. I feel like that's more interesting than the book we read.
Honestly, it could be. We can compare genealogy trees for the brothers.
Yeah, not to upset everybody. But, yeah, we're talking about Maren Moore's Catching Feelings, which is the second book in her Orleans University series. So I did read the first one.
You did read the first one.
Katie did not. And I did like Catching Feelings a lot more than I liked Home Run Proposal. But I'm just going to say, not a huge fan of either. And, like, not in a bad way. Like, this one was fine. But I think,
in case you were all wondering.
Oh, I thought we were talking about the book.
No, I had a lot.
Katie's ignoring me.
He came up with 10% of Greece and Albania.
All right.
That's the first I've ever
seen. I mean,
that's
just, like, Mediterranean.
100%. But it's, like, 48% of Northern Italy, 33% Southern Italy, and then Greece and Albania, which, like, so fucking fascinating. Okay, I'm done. This is just, like, it's just, like, so interesting how
now, like, I'll pull up mine and show everybody my map. No, I'm kidding.
So let's just jump into this. So, okay, let's, no, hold on, back up.
Well, no, first Katie has to go over now her mom's genealogy.
Do you want me to?
No, please don't. I can think of nothing less interesting, no offense.
No, it's honestly not fascinating at all. So, are you going to do a synopsis, or do we need to, or can we just talk about this?
Well, let's just go into it. I mean, I already started, so.
Okay, so I think for me, what I did not, okay, it's a college romance, right? We're talking college sports romance.
Yep.
The queen of writing college sports romance books is Elle Kennedy.
Agreed.
And it's going to stay that way because of a couple of reasons. She writes, I mean, is Garrett Graham top tier, and do men maybe always act like that in college? No. But I think she writes characters with what they're going through that fit the plot of the book, that fit what she's trying to deliver.
Yeah, and also, like, in her defense, because, like, we, like, make the joke all the time, like, guys don't act like that when they're in their 20s. And they don't. But there's something about, and, like, I mean, I hate comparing, but, like, there's something about the way that Elle writes the characters that make me believe, like, they could actually be in their early 20s.
Correct. Whereas, I will say with Maren Moore, I think her writing is great. It's easy to follow along with.
Yeah.
You can kind of envision everything in your mind. Reese was phenomenal. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But he read more mature.
And, like,
he reads, and then, like,
I get that he's from a rich family, but yes. Why does he live by himself?
Why does he live by himself? I think there was just a lot of, and, like, we obviously know who's the female main character in this one.
Viv.
Thanks.
Vivian.
She reads to me a very college, right? Like,
yeah.
Partying. I feel like I was reading a book that was very immature, but fit for the college feel at times. But then started to get more mature because of Reese, but then went back to, like, its original roots, which, like, I get. Like, there's
it just didn't feel like they were. I mean, like, Vivian was at times she was very immature, and at times she was, like, very, like, too mature.
Yes.
And then, like, they just didn't read, like, college students. And then the end, like, okay, so he's a senior, she's a freshman. And the end, like, the epilogue, whatever, is, like, him getting drafted. And he, so basically, like, she doesn't drop out of school. She goes virtual. So she, like, leaves college to, like, go virtual so that she can, like, focus on writing her book and then also, like, follow him to the city he's going to be playing in. And I just feel like at that point, just don't make it a college romance. Just make them both seniors where they're both graduating, because, like, there's nothing that I hate more than a 19-year-old giving up her, like, life to go follow a boy around. I don't know. Like, I hate that. Also, I mean, like, they're living together, and it was very, like, reminiscent of, like, the whole, like, forced proximity in the first book, which I know you didn't read, but I did talk about it last week. Like, I feel like you need to, like, let college students be college students. And if you want to write a more, like, mature book, then, like, just age them up. There's no reason for these people to be in college.
I honestly think she should have written them as, like, seniors graduating, or they just stepped out of college. Because, like, even in the beginning, there's a big push with Viv about how, like, she needs to finish school because she needs to support herself. And yes, her mom. And I do understand that there's some resolution with the mom on the back end.
Yeah.
But personally, like, if I got a scholarship to go to school where my only expense was room and board, I'm going to finish my degree.
She is finishing it. She's going virtual.
She's going virtual, but, like, I would stay.
Well,
like,
right, because, like, you're only going to get this, like, college experience one time. And
I'm,
like,
not following my, if my MLB boyfriend wants to fly me out on a couple weekends, or maybe throughout, like, the week,
right,
if I
just go, yeah,
classes, but still be on campus, like, sure. But, like, I think Maren should have aged her up a bit.
Yeah. Also,
junior or senior. Yeah. I feel like the freshman thing, the immaturity, yes, was there for the freshman thing. Like, I think Hallie Jo was very immature. Like,
yeah.
Even when she kind of popped up in this book, I, like, immediately was like, oh, I get why
they
act,
yeah,
like,
because
her.
they act like they're so old and, like, so there's, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, the characters are, like, acting like they're so old and they're so mature. Like, I'm like, you've been out of your house for, like, 3 months. Like,
yes.
You don't have your shit together whatsoever. This is your first, like, foray out into the real world.
Yes.
I mean, like, this is how you know that we're so old, because I'm, like, 35. I'm, like, I remember what I was like when I was a freshman in college. I didn't know shit.
I knew nothing.
And also,
it's trial and fucking error.
The 4 years of college were, like, the most fun time. Like, everybody should experience them. Like, I'm sorry.
I agree. I mean, and I'm someone who ended up going home, but I went away for a year. I experienced it and I was like, this is not my cup of tea.
Right.
Like, girlfriend ain't thriving here. Like, I'm going home.
Yeah.
But I think I would have regretted, or at least been like, I wonder what would have happened if I tried.
Yeah.
And I did end up like living off campus at a different school, but like, I was like house sitting in Belmar with
friends. Well, yeah, no, there's nothing so, wrong like, with there's like, different. There's nothing wrong with people. I have a lot of friends who commuted like, from really home, try, but I think it's just going to college, not virtually, but not yeah, following your boyfriend.
Was I fucking immature? Yes. Like, I mean, I didn't go to a lingerie party, but like, but again,
oh,
like,
I mean, that's just like frat stuff. Yeah, no, we did that.
But again, like, but that's shit that you do. Like, there's some pictures of the outfits that I was wearing. I was like, girl, is your ass cheeks, like, are they popping out back there?
I mean, they should be. That's literally what college is about.
Exactly. But like, you make these immature, dumb decisions and it's fine. But I feel like this book kind of, I feel like it didn't know what it wanted to be.
No, it didn't. And neither did the first book, in my opinion, either. Like, I just, I don't know. Like, I feel like you can be serious and have a serious relationship. And like, I just would have liked it so much better if like he graduated and he gets drafted and they, and like the epilogue is like, it could be like years later where she's finally graduated and finally gets her book published. Because again, like, I'm sorry, but no 19-year-old is getting their book published and going on a book tour and is a number one bestseller. Like, I'm sorry, that's just not happening.
Literally not
because
happening.
Like, what? Okay. Yes. Like their whole podcast, like I understand that like, this is like their passion, like this whole like weird, like haunted ghosts, like whatever. But I'm just sorry. Like, I just don't think that an 18-year-old is writing a best-selling novel and then going on a book tour. Like, does it happen? Yeah. Like, can this happen? Yes. Is it? Probably not. And like, again, like you don't like these things, like don't have to be rushed. Like, she could have been like, continued to work on it. And then after she like graduates college in the epilogue, it could be like, oh my God, I finally got my book published. And like, Reese is like finally like an all-star or something. Like, now she can like move out there. But I think, I don't know, like, even in the first book, like, Lane and Hallie Jo, like, live together. And, like, I just feel like we need to let college kids be college kids. Like, this isn't, like, the norm.
Yes.
And I don't know, it just bothers me.
I still think you could still have, there are more mature people out there in college. Like,
yeah.
I'm not saying Reese was, like, a bad choice for, like, the maturity. I just think he was too mature. And then I feel like even the smut scenes,
yeah,
they read like we would read an adult novel. Like, I'm talking like we're like 25 plus.
Like, again, like I'm trying to be realistic. And again, like maybe I know that my experience is a lot different from when I was in my early 20s. But like her being like, oh, like I love like a finger in my ass when I come, being like 18, 19 years old. Like, I just can't picture like kids like these days, like having these conversations.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just different now. But again, it read not college, but then we kept being reminded that they're in college. And then in the first book, Vivian, like her whole personality is like wanting to go out and being extroverted and wanting to go to parties. And then in this book, she's like, oh yeah, no, I don't really like to go out. And I'm like,
Wait, what?
Then who is she?
Yeah. Like, what are you trying?
And like,
and don't get me wrong. Like, I was someone who my first semester, I was going out, I was partying, but like, at the same time, too, I was like, I really want to do this, but like, this is
no. But she was like the ringleader in the first book.
Okay, so
yeah,
that was not me. I was more of like,
you were the Hallie Jo
follower, but like, I was like, oh, my friends are going, I guess I'll go. By the second semester, I was like, I'm fucking changing my room. I'm out, and I'm gonna go hang out with these girls who like a low key night.
Yeah,
but like that also rings true to who I am. Like, I was never a ringleader to go out and do things. Like, given if you give me the option, I'm staying the fuck home.
Yeah,
but like, yeah, like to go from like being a ringleader to like, no, I want to stay home and like cook meals for my boyfriend. It's just weird.
It's just like lame.
Yeah.
No offense. If like, I'm just like thinking like my vibe in college. And if honest, okay. So like if this was one of my friends, like if one of my best friends in college was like, oh, I'm going to live with my boyfriend, which, okay, I get the position she was in. I'm just saying like in general, like I'm going to, or like starts dating somebody and is like, oh, I think I'm just going to start doing virtual. And I would be like, you're a loser.
I 100%
no offense, understand. But like I'm saying, as a 19-year-old, like in my head, I'd be like, "What's wrong with
you?" I understand the living component, like like, I can't afford my room and board. This guy's giving me an option.
I just don't get why one if he had two rooms, why one of his friends wouldn't live there rent free?
Like,
why wouldn't Grant live there?
And again, I feel like that's even more plausible. Like if there's like three rooms, and maybe one becomes available because someone graduated, and now it's like.
Like, they're three best friends, and they all live separately by themselves.
Yeah,
like, this is that's not college.
I agree.
Even if I could have afforded my own place, I would have rather in college lived with my friends. So I'm confused. I'm confused. Like Lane was living alone, I think, before Eli and Hallie Joe like move in with him. I don't know what Grant's living situation is, but I assume he also lives alone. And then Eli lives alone. And I get they come from like rich families, but like, okay, like I don't know. It's just not college to not have them all like living together in a house.
Agreed. And I get with Reese's background, like, he doesn't really want parties there, but I think that's something that you can like, if you're all best friends, you can have those conversations. Be like, hey, we'll go to parties, but we're not hosting parties.
It doesn't sound like any of them host parties either.
Exactly. So it's
like they don't host parties at Lane's house. And yeah. I mean, Grant, I don't think so. They never mentioned going to a party there.
It's just
and Reese is fine hosting parties at his parents' house. So like, why not have some friends over at the house?
I think it would be more plausible. Again, kind of going back to even like to an icebreaker like moment where they all have that house together.
Yeah.
They all lived together. Maybe someone moved out. They moved in with somebody. Yeah. Like, whatever. There was and a room
even,
became vacant.
Like in the Dixon Rules, yeah. The L. Kennedy yes. book, Shane gets his own apartment because Ryder and Gigi are married. So, like, they're moving out. So, he's like, where am I going to live? So, he, like, finds his own place because, like, the who he was living with gets married, which we hated that trope, too. But, like, I don't know. I just felt like it was... And like, there was just too much smut, which I know that's probably just a complaint for us, but I just felt there was just like too much of it. And like, I felt myself like skimming too much and too long.
Okay. I'm not saying that you can't be experienced by the time you're 18 or 19 years old, but the way that this was carrying on and the way that he was speaking to her, I was like, are we watching porn?
I don't, and again, I think it's honestly just the way it was written because I'm going to revert back to the Dixon Rule again, which I know you haven't read, but like, there's this, like, they get pretty kinky. They're older. They're like, I think seniors. It doesn't matter. There's just like a way that this was written that I just wasn't buying it.
Same.
That's what it is. Same. I think it's that I just wasn't, I think all my issues, if it was done right, wouldn't be issues. I just like was reading it and I was like, this doesn't make sense to me.
I agree. And again, I think for me,
because again, like Gigi and Ryder get married in the Graham Effect, and we hated that, but I still loved that book. But like this, like I'm like, oh, like, and that's crazy that they did that. But this one, I'm like, oh, like this is crazy because they're in college, and it's bothered me. I don't know if that makes sense.
Like, I honestly, even like the glimpses you get of Hallie Jo, I don't find her a lot of what's going on with her even plausible. Like, even if even the Valentine's Day dinner. When they were like, oh, just come out with us. Like, the two of you guys. Like, it won't seem like it's a double date. Four people, a couple and then a guy and a girl.
Yeah.
Who are rooming together, who have, everyone knows they have feelings for one another.
Yeah.
Like, you can sense the tension. Are going out on Valentine's Day for reservations for dinner. You're telling me that that doesn't come across as dating?
Yeah.
That's not dinner with
also,
friends.
Like,
pick another night to go out with dinner with friends.
Listen, like, there's also just, like, I don't know. I feel like you need separation of friends and relationships. And, like, there's rarely any of that. Like, every time it's, like, they're only doing things, like, with, like, if Hallie's there. Like, I think, like, there's, like, one time, and it's because the boys are away playing baseball.
Yes.
That, the like, that Lane is not with her.
Yes.
And, like, the whole time, like, he's with his friends, like, I just want to get home to Hallie. Like, it's okay. Like, I don't know. I understand, like, sometimes it's really cute. But I don't know why I'm really hating on this book. Because I really didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it either. I'm with you.
Yeah.
There's like some things I just weren't,
and
buying. And again, like, yes, we're all.
I think it was I honestly think it was trying too hard. And that's my issue with it. It was trying too hard and it wasn't hitting hard. Does that make sense?
You know what? Okay. Yes. But you know what I'm also, now that I'm like thinking, my brain's kind of firing. I almost felt like Viv was becoming, you know, like some girls, when they start dating someone, they kind of like mold themselves.
Yes,
to kind of.
That's what I felt like the first one was too.
Okay, I felt like I was getting these vibes because she and it's not. I'm not trying to say it's because of Reese. I'm saying it's just the evolution of Viv throughout the book. Like,
yeah,
she's into spooky shit. She's determined to like sit on her own 2 feet and pay her way and like go to college and get her degree in school, being with her best friend, hanging out.
Yeah,
and then you kind of see her like start to morph into becoming like a baseball girlfriend, still kind of like have it, but like you multiple times in the book they talk about how like she really misses her friend but like never gets to see her because like she's always hanging out with her boyfriend and like now she's always home or running back and forth to her mom's house. Like I feel like it's And again, don't get me wrong, like, when I first started dating my boyfriend, like, there's a honeymoon phase.
Yeah, no.
We want to be apart.
Yeah.
But I still
feel it's also just not fun to read that, though.
Agreed. But, like, you're also...
Yeah, and, like, they have this whole podcast that they do together. And, like...
You don't even get glimpses of that.
It's a bigger thing in the first book, the podcast.
Okay.
But, yeah, like, they almost become... And I feel like, and again, like, I don't mind reading girls like this sometimes because I feel like, well, I'll have a little bit in this. But, I feel like they both read as, like, oh, like, we're not, like, other girls' girls. And, like, it's, like, a little, like, oh, like, I'm so weird and I'm so quirky. Like, I'm not like that. I'm not like other girls. I'm not like all the other girls that these men have been with. Like, I'm so different. And, like, that's fine that you are. Like, who doesn't want to feel
but
like
also
that?
Also, you're, like, but you're not. Like, okay, I'm a very, I have some weird likes. Like,
yeah.
I am a little quirky and different in some aspects. But I'm still very much also, like, a girl's girl.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, and these girls are too. Like, you want to go out, you want to party, you want to drink, you want a good time. Like,
yeah, I just want, I
don't
know.
It's okay to be different, it's okay to be like everybody else.
If I'm reading a college romance, especially a sports one, I want there to be like college-y aspects.
Yes.
And even in the first book, like, Hallie Jo's best friend is Eli, and they live together. And like, Eli's kind of only there to create like some like, ooh, like tension in the beginning with Lane. Like, he rarely, all we hear about Eli is that he has a girlfriend, and like, so he's like always MIA because he's with his girlfriend. And then it's fine because like Lane and Hallie Joe are always together too. And then like, it's also fine because like Reese now and Viv are always together. And it's like, especially like when everybody's like dating people, I feel like there should be like all these like great like group.
Yeah. Like group moments. Group hangouts. Like, why are we all that? And again, like I almost wish, instead of Hallie, Joe, and Lane maybe living together, like, why couldn't just Hallie, Joe, and Viv live together? And then Lane live with his guy. And then we get instances of the girls being there, hanging out, cooking the guy's dinner. Like, maybe seeing other girls come in and out, because the one guy's kind of a player.
They all are, but I don't see it.
But you don't see it at all. Like, I feel like that would be like, more plausible. Right. And, like, that's what I would want out of a college romance.
But, yes.
Like, I want to be in that house, watching like girls come and go, like guys making jokes about what they're laying upstairs, which, like, you know, whatever. But, like, that's
because it's, I mean, like, listen, if it's a college romance, there should be some immaturity. And
yes.
Like, if these boys are playing like sports and they're like known to be players, and I want to get a little bit of that like fratty douchebaggery. I do.
100%. And you're telling me that these boys who are, which, because you were saying Lane was the first draft pick.
He was going into the draft. He was supposed to be the first draft pick, and then said, I don't want to play baseball anymore.
Because now, in this book, the first draft pick is Reese.
No, so they say he's getting drafted, but that he might go, like, to the minors first. Like, oh, Lane was supposed to go direct to that.
No, there's a part that literally says he's the first, yes.
Oh, my God. Well, that's even...
Because I literally thought of you, and I was like, wait a minute, I thought this guy was the first draft pick. I'm not even kidding.
No, I believe you. You don't have to search it.
But again, but... You're telling me that these boys who are this good at baseball, who are getting drafted to the MLB potentially, and or playing in the, like, you're good enough to be scouted out. You're telling me you're not hosting parties or going to parties or having people flop all over you?
And in, like, in the first book, it is like Lane, like, he's always bringing different girls home. Like, and that, but like, I feel like you don't see it. Like, I don't need you to tell me. I need to see it. I need to experience it. Like, and again, I hate, like, keep going back to the, like, off-campus series. But, like, we see Dean in other books banging girls on the couch. Like, we know he's having threesomes. Even Garrett in the first book, we know that he's a player. And then he falls in love with Hannah. And, like, that kind of stops. But, like, we see it. It's not just being told
even
to us.
Even an icebreaker, we get glimpses of them in that like, I'm literally envisioning them in that house all hanging out, like, she's getting to hang out with
That's why dad. I loved, like, Icebreaker so much, because I was like, oh my God, this is like very college.
It's reading. When I'm going to immerse myself in a college romance, I want the college experience.
And like, it literally was so insta-love. Like, we get the prologue of them sleeping together, and like, Reese is just obsessed.
Yes.
Which, that's fine.
It's fine.
I love a, like... But I don't know. I feel like there was no tension. There was no, like, the banter was good. Like, the banter was cute. There was very, like, we knew that they liked each other literally from page one.
I wish they actually did not get together in the beginning. I wish there was just, like, that awkward tension.
Yes.
Or if you wanted them to get together, fine. But then I really wish there was more awkward tension than living in a house there for a while.
And, like
almost having him, like, I need you to do me a fucking favor and come to, like, it, oh, I wish, like, him having like, reluctant, answer the call, like,
yeah,
like, you need to do this for me, like, I don't even want to fucking
and then, like, yeah, like, now. Yeah, like, do this for me, and then I'll do something for you, and yeah. then, like, it kind of evolves, like, I think it was, like, kind of, like, slated as, like, an enemies to lovers, but really, like, the only reason why Viv is ever mean to Reese is because she likes him.
Yes.
And she's like, oh, he's such a douche, like, he's making funny jokes by being, like, oh, literally. I'm so sexy, like, he's not acting like a douche at all. No, honestly, if he was womanizing and she was getting mad at him for it, like that would make more sense than him just like make cracking jokes about himself.
Exactly. I mean, him even showing up to like her mom's house, like I was like, this is just like this is I don't know. Like
also that would have pissed me off. Like why are you too, just like,
why did you just show up here? Like
yeah.
we're not anything.
Yes, and he's like this billionaire's kid. Why do his parents have to be so like so rich?
Yeah.
Like I just don't understand like where this like story was going. And same. I think we're thinking too much about it. Like
100%.
I think it's not supposed to be
too I just found myself skimming after a while. I was like, this isn't really hitting the way I wanted it to hit.
Because they get together and then like they're just together for like most of the book. And then like the third act like conflict is very quickly resolved.
Which I mean, and I can't even I didn't mean like a breakup.
No.
I guess, but at the same time too, if you want to stick with like the immaturity levels, like there could have been, I was fine that it didn't happen, but there wasn't like a lot of meat and potatoes for this. It was very just like,
Yeah, there was no meat and potatoes.
Literally none.
And then like, okay, so this is, I'm getting ahead of myself, but the third book coming out is, Grant is the other friend, right? I didn't just make up that name. But it's like a marriage of convenience. And I'm like, in college?
That doesn't make sense.
No. I'm like 90.
She should have made these characters
older. There's no reason for these.
In the MLB.
Yeah.
They should have been in the MLB. They could have been on the younger side of things. Cause that's when they're typically drafted. And they had like younger girlfriends. We're talking like 25 year olds here. Like, yeah. I don't think they should have been college.
No. Yeah. Okay. Wait, this is the description for the third. I fell for my secret pen pal believing we could never meet, but now he's my husband. Grant is Orleans University Playboy first baseman. He's charming, kind, and a tad arrogant. So basically, like, he's the exact replica of the other two mailman characters. Playboy, haven't seen it. Arrogant, funny, barely. Probably. Yeah. Charming and kind. Okay, so literally, copy-paste. All right. Underneath his party guy demeanor, he's more than anyone sees. I needed a husband, and he strode in like Prince Charming, taking me up on the marriage pact from our past. One that I never imagined actually happening. Our I do's were meant to be temporary, a walk-off wedding that benefited us both. But when he takes our vows more seriously than I expect, old feelings begin to resurface. Now we're sharing a too small apartment. Again, why are they all living together? And he's everywhere, in my room, in my bed, and in my heart. Our marriage is supposed to be fake, but I think I'm falling for my husband. Like, okay, so tropes are marriage of convenience, college baseball, secret identities, pen pal, teach me, boy obsessed, only one bed. Like, I just feel like the, like, it's just like, oh, like what's popular. Check these. Like there's no, you don't need to have a marriage of convenience.
Is married in the South?
I don't know. Maybe.
Because that makes, I'll say maybe that makes more sense. Because I know when I lived in South Carolina, every girl that I've ever met that was born, bred Southern, you are engaged in college.
Yeah, I know. It's very different from where
we're. It's very different. Yes. Which. That's
which
fine.
Is fine,
that's
but totally like fine. That's what like that's where our opinions
where,
are coming from.
Yeah, maybe that's where
because it feels crazy because it would never happen in like the tri-state area. Or if it does, people would be like, "They're crazy and they're going to be divorced in 2 years."
That or they like who
or who's can, pregnant? Yeah,
that's what we deal with.
Yeah,
I mean, I know it's New Orleans, so that's obviously South. So maybe that's just where we're getting at with this. But like, this is just not.
I just feel like who's. Again, who's entering a fake marriage? And again, like if you want to get married in college because you're in love and whatever, but who's, what is the reasoning to need to be fake married when you're 20 years old?
I don't know.
And if this is another college freshman and he's a senior.
Then I really don't believe it.
And like.
You want to both be seniors? I think it's a little different.
All of these stories are also, this is also an issue that I'm having. Okay. It's not really an issue because, all right, the first one takes place like. The fall semester,
mm-hmm.
and this one, I believe, is spring semester.
Yeah, it's like right after.
It's yeah. So, like, when is this happening? At the same time that Reese is with Vivian?
Yeah, this is weird.
Like, I, because, like, There's no, there should have been, I don't, maybe there were breadcrumbs that I just wasn't picking up. But then if he's married, again, why are they all living separately? These are like your best friends in college. Like you live with them.
It's just, this is a series I will not.
I don't think I'm not reading.
I'm not reading the first either. And I won't be reading the third. I think this is, for me, it's not hitting. It's not clicking. I'm not connecting. It could simply just be that we are from the tri-state area and are not.
Yeah, I don't even want to say it's because we're too old, because like I do love a college sports romance.
Yes, absolutely. Like, but maybe just for us, we can't connect.
I can't connect to these.
Other people can, which is fine. I do enjoy her writing. I think she's a great writer and like can really weave a story so you can envision.
Yeah, but I just don't think she's good at. I mean, I don't want to say that, I don't want to say that she's not good at storytelling, because
it's not delivering. For
it's not delivering. And now I'm like, what else has she written? I'm trying to think if I've read anything else.
I mean, I'll try something else.
Like something that's like older.
Yeah. Yeah, no. This just wasn't.
I read Scoring to Win. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't read that. I wanted to read that. I haven't read anything by her.
This was my first as well.
I think that her style of writing is not for us.
Same.
I don't think it was like bad. I just think it wasn't. I think the story just wasn't good.
It didn't hit for me.
I didn't care about the characters. I liked Reese, but like I didn't really care.
I liked Reese too.
He also was so like one note. Like there was nothing wrong with his life. Like yeah. Like literally, he was just cute and like funny, and like
there's no depth.
No, there was no depth. And like I think she tried to give Viv depth with like the whole mom thing, but like I didn't feel bad. Like I just was more aggravated with her during that storyline. So yeah, I think that we're not gonna read any more of hers. And like, if you like, if you're a Maren Moore fan, I apologize, but
yes, big apologies. But yeah, like personally for me, it's not a hit, and that's okay.
Yes,
if it's hitting for you, I fucking love that for you. But it was not hitting.
I gave them both 3 stars. Like,
yes,
I didn't hate it. I'm very much of the opinion like if you want to read it, but I'm not going to recommend it.
Same.
So that's where I stand on it.
I'm. Yes. Just yes. Just yes.
Now, I mean, if you've listened this far about our bitching and moaning and complaining, which I'll probably talk about this in our next Spilling the Tea, which isn't for like maybe 3 weeks. So last year I read The Summer We Fell by Elizabeth O'Rourke. And then I never read any of the other ones. And then this weekend I read the other 3. And I love them, but The Summer We Fell was so different tone wise versus the next 3.
So
The Summer We Fell was like very angsty and like it was told and like alternating time. It was just like, I loved it.
Okay.
But I didn't immediately want to read the second one because like, I have to be like, it's a lot for me to read like a lot of angst. I get headaches because, like, I just start clenching from all of, like, the, you know. So I waited, and then I read the next 3 this weekend because the newest one came out last week, and I wanted to read them, obviously. The tone is so different in the next 3. And they're interconnected standalones, but the couple from the first book, Luke and Juliet, are, like, nowhere to be found
okay.
in the next 3. Luke was kind of like... I don't want to give a lot away, but like Luke and Juliet were kind of like fringe friends.
Okay.
Where like the other boys were like
friends.
Fringe friends. So I kind of get that, but like then I feel like why is it just like a little weird then that they're like all interconnected? I feel like The Summer We Fell could have just been like it's like a standalone type of thing, and then like this could have been like a different series. But I really love all of them. Okay. So at first I told Katie not to read The Summer We Fell because of all the angst and like, it's a very frustrating read, but it's very good.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that you'll like the other ones. So I think you just have to just read them all. And honestly, like it's Elizabeth O'Rourke. So it's just great.
Yes.
And they're all, I think, less than 300 pages.
Sold.
But the last one's coming out in August mm-hmm. and that follows Harrison. So Harrison is newly divorced. And it's an age gap. And you meet who he's going to, like, be with. And I think that the boy, I think that all the boys are in like their early 30s. And I think that she's like, I think she's like still in college. So I think she's like 20, maybe 21.
Okay.
And she's one of the other guy's nieces.
Interesting.
And I don't know how I'm going to feel about it. Very nervous about it.
I also wonder by the time they get to like his book, like, is she going to graduate?
It doesn't sound like that.
That's weird.
Unless, okay, because at the end of, I honestly forget all the names. At the end of The Summer I Destroyed You, you get a little blurb about the next book. And it doesn't sound like that. But that could just be the prologue and then it could like jump ahead.
True. Very much so. Yeah.
But I'm not getting that vibe. I'm getting the vibe that she doesn't, they don't really say what her age is. And I wasn't paying as much attention because I didn't think that she was going to be the love interest. So I was just like, oh, whatever. Just like Liam's niece. Like, and then I get to the prologue basically. And I'm like, oh,
come again.
Harrison's, this is crazy. And like crazy things happen in the books. So like maybe like the niece thing isn't as crazy, but it's like, it's pretty crazy. But yeah, no, I mean, I really like it. I'm just now I'm like, I'm nervous because I like all the other ones and I'm like, I'm not an age gap girl.
Same.
So I'm wondering how I'm going to feel about it. But I mean, like, if he's like 32 and she's like 22, that's not so bad to me.
Yes.
I still think that in real life, that's weird, but like I can get over that in a book.
Yes.
But if he was like in his like late 30s and 22, like I'd have to draw the line there. Or if he was like 32 and she was 18, I'm calling the police.
Same. I would say that 32, 22, even in real life, wouldn't be as like, depending upon like what she's doing at 22. Like if she's partying, living it up in like college still, I'd be like, what's up with this? But if she's like someone who's
right, it depends.
It depends on the person. But I think if she's still in college and he's in his 30s, I might be like, this is.
He's strange. Also like a very successful lawyer, and he's like just got divorced. And I think that the divorce happens because like he wants kids and she didn't. We don't really know a lot. It's kind of like almost implied. I don't know. I guess we're gonna have to wait and see. But I think that if you are interested, you should read them.
I'm going to read them because I really did like the Devil series.
Yeah. And like, again, like, you know, you like love the banter and like the joke,
yes.
There's deeper topics going on. So like the last book that just came out, like her mom is like mentally and a little physically abusive. She's dealing with an eating, like an eating disorder from like when she was younger and like overcoming that. But like the banter is so good.
Okay.
And they're all very, like, they all have, like, those, like, funny quips, but there's just, like, more, like, in the third book, Kate is the female main character, and she's dealing with addiction, and, like, she's been in rehab, and, like, her baby died. So there's, like, darker, deeper, but it's also funny. Like, Elizabeth O'Rourke does, like, a really,
really,
really good job.
She really does, like, weave some, like,
Or it's heavy topics, but it's still, like, an enjoyable read, where you're not, like... Yes, there's sadness in it, but it's also funny.
Yes. They're contemporary reads to me, but they're not, like, full-blown, contemporary, like, heavy, you gotta, like, buckle up a little bit. Like, like you said, like, they're light and airy and, like, still have some, like, fun and fluff to it, which is nice.
Like, they literally, like, it's real life, right? Like, tragedy happens, but, like, the best medicine, in my opinion, is, like, laughing through it a little 100%. Bit. And I don't know.
We learned, I didn't know this, that Elizabeth O'Rourke was a psychologist. Well, I'm sure she still has a license for psychology, but like maybe doesn't, I don't know if she does. Her background in psychology. I think that does make a lot of sense for how she's able to do that though.
Yeah.
I feel like it does take like a specific mindset maybe and skill set to be able to weave the two. But I think if anyone would know how to do that, it would be someone with a psych background.
Yes.
So that was really fascinating when we learned that.
I know.
Well, that makes sense.
Well, look at what we have here. So I just want to talk about that really quick because that's all I've done all weekend.
I love that for you. I've been listening to Savor It on audio. It's phenomenal on audio.
And honestly, I didn't realize that it was Zachary Weber / Jacob Morgan. And so when I like got to like the chapter 2 is Fisher. And when I heard the voice, I was at the mall and I was like,
it's so good.
So
speaking of really good audios, because we're not going to have spilling the tea for a while, the unmaking of June Farrow.
Oh, have you seen Katie's crying video?
I cannot express enough how fucking phenomenal this book was. I saw Mary read it. She absolutely loved it. I did see Logan post about it. She really loved it. And I was like, you know what? I'm in between Ready or Not on audio or The Unmaking of June Farrow. I asked you and Mary what I should do. And Mary's like, I think you should do this one.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie. I almost like did not. I love to ask for advice and opinions.
But and then,
like,
yeah, then switch. You just do whatever you want.
I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to do. Because Ready or Not, the audio sounded phenomenal.
Oh, it's so good.
But I was like, you know what? Let me just listen to Mary. Very glad I listened to Mary. Especially at the end. So it is time travel. But it's not really time travel. Like, yes, there's two timelines going on, but it's not like she's going back and forth trying to, like, figure out this romance. And, like, romance is, like, the subplot here in this book.
Yeah.
It is all about her trying to figure out what the fuck is going on, why she can live in two places at once. Like, she thinks, if anything, she comes from a long line of women who are just become sick, and then they lose their minds and they pass away. She didn't realize, like, she's like, now it makes sense. My girl was like, I'm living in two places at once. Like, she's like, I get it now. It was just, it was done so well. It's such a beautiful read. I literally stared at a wall for, like, the last 30 minutes. And when I tell you that a couple of, like, the plot twists, I don't ever fucking see anything coming. I didn't see this one coming. I literally texted Mary and I was like, what in the actual fuck? Like, holy fucking shit. And then, yes, I cried. It is not an emotional read, so please take that with a grain of salt. This is also me at 7+ months and hormonal. But it was just like, it was just one of those, like, you can't help but cry because it was just so fucking beautiful. Like, what the things that she decides in the end, you're like, oh my fucking God. It was so magical. I cannot stress it enough. Everyone needs to read and listen to it, in my opinion.
Well, it is on my short list. I just need to wait to get a credit. So probably like mid-June I'll do it.
That's like my...
Because I'm yeah, save for it. Like,
yeah.
I'm flying. I started it today. I have like 3 hours left. So like I'll be done by like Thursday morning.
Yeah.
Because I'm going back to work tomorrow.
And you have a commute. So like
you're right. So I'm saying, yeah, I'm going to start commuting.
I know. I don't have any credits left. I might try to see if I can return. If it'll let me return right now. Because I do have a couple I want to listen to. Like, so on my wish list, I really do want my short list. It is Ready or Not. I do want to listen to Fragile Sanctuary. Catherine Cowles has great narrators on audio. I've never physically read one of her books, but like everything I've ever listened to on audio by her, it's just, I think she does it so well. And I do want to listen to, I think we said something the other day and I was like, oh yeah, I need to put it on my list. I don't remember. But I have like Mrs. Nash's Ashes. Not like, oh, I do want to read Ready or Not. Listen to it. So, like, Ready or Not, Fragile Sanctuary, let me get my shit straight. Those are, like, on my two, like, very short lists. But I'm kind of with you. Like, I'm trying to be better with spending.
Yeah. And honestly, like, if it was, like, an $8 audiobook, maybe I would just buy it. But it's not, so.
It's not. I am hoping I can, like, because with Audible, you're not allowed to just, like, rogue return titles. You kind of, like, are, like, limited. So I'm kind of hoping I wait because I know
because I have some books that I'm not going to listen to.
I downloaded a Laura Pavlov. I fucking hated the first 30 minutes. I was like, there's no way I'm finishing this. There's another one I think I know, and I think I'm gonna return Restless Stars. I can't keep book 9. I can't fucking listen to it. I don't know.
Skip to the epilogue.
I might. Honestly, I just, the Bordeaux's do a phenomenal job, but I feel like maybe I was reading it in a very different way the whole time, but like we did listen to all the audios, like to do a reread,
yeah.
And I felt like, not that it was always so serious, but they did have serious moments.
Because I read it a lot more serious.
Same. Some of the things that, like, in the first couple minutes, I'm like, why are we making jokes about this? I was like, here we go again with the fucking jokes. Like,
yeah.
this wasn't a joke to me when I read this in the past. So why are we now reading it out loud like this?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I didn't feel like I got that with the other audiobooks. Yeah. Like, so we're just trying to make things more light and fluffy. And, like, I was like, it's just not, I literally was like, this is so fucking disappointing.
Yeah, like, I thought that there was good comedic relief, but I didn't think that it was... Like, I read it more serious.
Yeah, like, that's not how it's being referred to. Oh, okay. So I was like, I just can't even handle this right now. I'm very upset about it because, like, we were diehard fans.
Yeah.
I don't know how I stand right now. I need to calm down and, like, cool off a little bit. But, like, I'm very disappointed. I'm going to leave it at that.
I'm sorry about that. Next week we have the Dawn of the Cursed Queen with Amber Nicole interview, which we've been sitting on for like 2 weeks now. So I'm like excited that it's finally going. It's getting posted next week. The week after we have Savor It with Tara DeWitt interview. So we're interviewing Tara next week. Savor It came out last week and it's phenomenal. On the 19th, we have a just classic old Spilling the Tea episode where I'll probably talk about these books again. And then at the end of the month, we have Crossroads by Devaney Perry, which is not out yet, but it comes out June 4th. So you guys got a lot of reading to do. But you can do it because Savor It and Crossroads, very quick, easy reads.
Yes.
And really good reads. So that's what we have coming up in June. And that's all we got for you today.
True.
Katie.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.